episode 006. I'm your host, Kevin Lindsay, general manager of Buckley Newspapers and the editor of the Jasper County News. I hope that you're having a great week. Well, let's go ahead and dive right into this week's podcast. First of all, if you haven't picked up a paper, I hope that you do. Rates as low as $30 per year. Come in here and get you a yearly subscription to the Jasper County News. It was a packed paper this week. We had a lot of stuff going on, and we're going to kind of recap what happened in the county over the past week. First of all, last Friday morning at approximately 5:16 a.m., the Bay Springs Police Department was dispatched to an accident on Highway 15 near the Piggly Wiggly grocery store. The accident involved a pickup and a semi-truck with the driver of the pickup truck. He was trapped inside the vehicle where he was later pronounced deceased on the scene. Very unfortunate situation Friday morning. The driver was identified as Charles E. Luke, and he was 31 years old. He was from Laurel, Mississippi. From what I understand, he worked at Holmac. So please remember that family and friends of Mr. Charles E. Luke in your thoughts and your prayers. Unfortunate that that happens. We're fortunate in the county not to have too many accidents that result in casualties, but unfortunately this one did. Not too much else to say on that other than just keep that family and both of those families in your thoughts and your prayers, both the driver of the pickup truck and the semi-truck. Well, in other news, probably the biggest story of the week, and there is a small story in this week's paper regarding it, but I knew that that this story was likely to be updated, and it actually did get updated Wednesday afternoon after the paper had already went to press and things like that. But you'll see, you can find it online at impact601.com for the full story. But I'll recap it here. There was three suspects that had their initial appearance at the Jasper County Courthouse Wednesday, while another charge was added to a fourth suspect in the ongoing investigation involving a minor. Wednesday afternoon, District 2 Justice Court Judge Marvin Jones, he issued a $50,000 cash bond to each of the three suspects and added another $50,000 cash bond to the fourth suspect to bring his bond total to $150,000. The fourth suspect, Christopher Lowe, he had his initial appearance Friday afternoon, last Friday, where his bond was initially set at $100,000 in a cash bond. The three suspects, starting with the first, Kenneth Gregory, 55 years old, he was charged with human trafficking, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and sexual battery. Tajik Jermaine Page, 47 years old, he was charged with human trafficking, sexual battery. And Alyssa Renee Lovett, is 32 years old, she was charged with molestation. All three of the suspects were arrested on February the 5th, 2024, by the Jasper County Sheriff's Department in connection with a case that involved Christopher Blair Lowe, the fourth suspect who had his initial appearance last Friday. Lowe is 34 years old. He was arrested on January the 31st on two counts of sexual battery, exploitation of a child, child abuse, and neglect delinquency of a child. And like I said, Lowe had his initial appearance in court last Friday where his bond was set at $100,000. All four suspects had a cash bond set by the judge. But Wednesday, Lowe had his added charge, which was the human trafficking charge, and that resulted in a $50,000 cash bond increase. So that gave him the total of $150,000. This was a case that I talked with the sheriff earlier this week before we went to press on, and he didn't want to reveal too much because the investigation was ongoing and they were pretty close to connecting the case, but I did want to get something out in the paper, and I could get something out about Christopher Lowe and all of that. And Sheriff Johnson was, you know, obviously trying to be a little vague, and I understand that because they were trying to get these pending arrests and people in connection with the initial case, and it was a sensitive subject. So whenever something involving that, I'm not going to press the department too hard and press the sheriff too hard on it, because he will let me know what needs to be known. But this was involving a minor. From what I understand, they got a report from someone that Christopher Lowe had allegedly gotten into a incident with someone, and it turned out it was a minor that was involved, and they ended up catching him, and it just kind of boiled over, and we found, the sheriff's department found out that it was a minor involved, and that's where you see the battery and all of that, charges and all those things, where all that came from, I should say. And then you have the connection with the other three suspects. So it turned into a pretty big deal. Sheriff Johnson was quoted that he said, "We've been in contact with our district attorney's office and the attorney general's office. Right now, the AG's office is on standby if they need to help them out." That was a quote yesterday from the sheriff. So he did tell me that he didn't think there would be any more pending arrests. He believes that they got everyone that was involved, and he said that it would likely be an August court date set. So they're trying to still get some more information. There was some stuff involving phones and things like that. So the investigation is still considered ongoing. But yeah, delicate subject. And I do appreciate the sheriff's department for being able to get us the information that they did and things like that. It's just unfortunate. So you can see that full story in next week's edition of the Jasper County News. And I just want to kind of give my opinion of what I saw in the initial court date for the three suspects, and then of course Mr. Lowe, who had the other charge added to him. It was really, I want to say, interesting seeing the different emotions of people when they're charged. I think that's one thing that as I do and report on more court cases, it's seeing emotions and seeing body language, and I thought that was really interesting. And this is my opinion. This is not something that I'm going to put in the paper or anything like that. I'm just telling you what I see. You know, when I saw the first suspect up, Mr. Gregory, I saw him. He was kind of emotionless. He took the sentencing and really didn't say anything. And then you have Mr. Page come up, and there was a sense of anger that he was charged with what he was charged with, and he made a comment while he was standing there, it was kind of directed, I think, at the investigator that was involved, of the fact of, you know, you're trying to charge me with this and you're trying to stick me with whatever. So there was a bit of anger there. And then you had Miss Lovett, who she was very emotional and was crying and things like that. It was definitely, I don't know any other way to say it than interesting to see the different body language from each person. You had Mr. Lowe, who really didn't show much emotion even after having the other charge added to him. So that's one thing that I've learned and kind of tried to watch while reporting on court cases, is seeing body language and things like that, just to see how people react to those things and whatnot. And so just a sensitive situation there, and I was told by Sheriff Johnson that the minor who was involved in the incident is in the care of Child Protective Services, and the minor is safe. Obviously, you can't reveal names or anything like that, because that person is a minor under the age of 18. So if you look in the paper and you're wanting a name of who it was, that's not going to happen. You weren't going to see that. Moving on from that, again, like I said, probably our biggest story of the week. Yesterday, also Wednesday, Bay Springs High School hosted a memorial program for late head coach Corey Mackey. He had a balloon ceremony where players and family released balloons into the sky. There was multiple speakers, including Pastor Terry Moffitt Sr., and I took some photos of that memorial program. You can find those on the Facebook page there. Just a great, great memorial program. I want to commend our superintendent, West Jasper Superintendent Dr. Jill Miller, and the faculty and the staff. There was a crowd in that memorial program, and I just want to commend them. Very, very well done, and it's something that Coach Mackey would be very, very proud of, and I'm so happy that his family got to see the love shown to the longtime head coach. And again, you know, I can't express any more than what I did last week about Coach Mackey and his legacy and just being a great basketball coach and a great man. So I just want to again say to remember those family members and those friends in your prayers and your thoughts this week. Well, moving over to sports, National Signing Day was yesterday, and I know that National Signing Day typically hasn't been as big over the past couple of years because we have early signing day now, and then we have the NIL and the portal and everything like that. But yesterday was still National Signing Day, and we had six area players across Jasper County that they are headed to the next level. Very proud of them. First of all, we had Bay Springs, three Bay Springs Bulldogs. They're headed to the next level. Cameron Beavers, he is leading the charge. He signed with Ole Miss. He had actually, pretty much from what I understood, had kind of already signed, and he was already going to, you know, there wasn't any flipping him or anything like that. He just wanted to sign with anybody else from Bay Springs that was able to sign, and he had two teammates that ended up signing on to the next level. Mr. John Andrews, he signed with Simpson College. Simpson College is actually in Iowa. He said he took one visit there, and it was exactly where he wanted to be. So Mr. Andrews is headed to Iowa. Very, very, very cool. And also, J.J. Gamage, another great player for Bay Springs this year. Tight end, he is headed to Mississippi Delta. So Mississippi Delta getting a great player. I'm excited to see what he does. I think that given enough time, you could see him go on to a D1 school. He's just a great athlete, got a good build to him. Underrated hands. Man, just a good athlete. So I'm excited to see where his career goes, and obviously everybody else too, but JJ's one that I'm excited to see what happens there. Also, I went over there to Heidelberg in East Jasper where three Heidelberg Oilers. They're also headed to the next level. Some more kids that I'm very excited to see what they do. Mr. Julius Bradley, he's headed to Hines Community College. Freddie Gavin, he's headed to East Central Community College. And I think, and I'm going to go ahead and say it right here, y'all can hold me to it, Mr. Javier Bramlett, he is headed to East Mississippi Community College. That kid has all the potential in the world to have a chance to go D1 and farther. I really like this kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and he is an athlete. You know, one thing that I asked him yesterday in his interview was, what was it like leading your team to a state championship? Because, I mean, he was one of a few seniors on that team that was mostly led by freshmen and underclassmen, freshmen and sophomores. And the first thing he did, he's like, man, it wasn't me. It was a collective thing. He just said all the right things that you would want from a football player. And East Mississippi is getting a good one. So I'm excited to see what he does as he just gets bigger and goes on to chasing those dreams. So congratulations to all six of those guys. They're going to represent Jasper County well, in my opinion. Well, it is district tournament time in basketball this week. And last week, actually, Silva Bay had their district tournament where Lamar Christian was hosting it. And I traveled out there Friday night to see the boys play, and they came up just short against the Lamar Christian Lions. That matchup, man, all three matchups, you know, Lamar Christian's taking two, Silva Bay's taking one. All three of those matchups have come down to the wire, and this was another one, kind of like what head coach Steve Hampton said. They just kind of ran out of time. They got dug in. They dug themselves into a bit of a hole. Lamar Christian was able to take a lead early, and they just never let up. Even though Silva Bay fought back and they got within, I believe, 3 or 4 points at one point, but they just never could quite catch up and eventually ran out of time. Still, though, the Silver Bay Saints, they had to head up north. I believe it's River Oaks, I don't have it in my script, but I believe it's River Oaks Academy. They had to travel up north and play last night, both the boys and the girls. And the girls, they got put out last night. The boys won. They will advance to Friday night, and then a championship game, if they win Friday night, will happen Saturday afternoon. And that gets them into the All-State Tournament, I believe is how it is. MAIS does things a little bit different, so they would move into this All-State Tournament with a bunch of teams. I think overall State Tournament might be what it's called. But anyway, they still have a chance to keep going deeper and deeper into the playoffs. So they're a little ways away. Meanwhile, you have Bay Springs. Scott Central is actually hosting that district tournament, so the Lady Bulldogs and the Boys Bulldogs, they will have to head up there. I expect them both to probably play in the district championship. I know they're probably going to be playing with a lot of emotion and things like that, but I do expect them to play tomorrow in their district title games. We kind of expect that, so if they do, I'll probably be headed up to Scott Central tomorrow night. You can follow me on X/Twitter, wherever you want to call it, to keep up with what's going on there. Meanwhile, the Heidelberg Lady Oilers and the Heidelberg Oilers, they are having to travel down to Richland in that tournament, as the Richland Rebels are hosting that district tournament. And as far as I know, the Lady Oilers, they're playing today. And I believe they were supposed to play at 4:30, so it's 4:33 as I'm editing or putting together this podcast. So they should be tipping off or getting close to tip off there. We're rooting for the Lady Oilers. Speaking of our sister paper, the Smith County Reformer, Mize is also in that tournament, and I believe he is going to try to help me out. If both of those teams make it to the district championship, or one of them at least makes it to the district championship tomorrow. So we're trying to get all that together. It's been a crazy, hectic week, and I hate that I can't cover the early rounds of the district tournament, but there's been just so much going on this week that I'm just trying to hope that we get some teams to make it to the district championships, and then we'll figure out what we got to do, and we'll send out myself or James, and we'll be traveling trying to get those teams covered. So I'm definitely trying to keep an eye on them. I keep an eye out on social media and try to retweet scores and update scores the best that I can do. It's just kind of tough whenever it comes to district tournament time. I know the Stringer Red Devils and the Stringer Lady Red Devils, they had to travel to Leek County. All of our district tournaments are kind of far off. They're kind of a ways away. I think Richland's the closest one that we have. But the Stringer Red Devils, they traveled to Leek County. The boys got put out on opening night, Tuesday night. The Lady Red Devils, they did win. I believe they're actually playing tonight also. They played Leek County, if I remember correctly. So if they can upset Leek County, that would be huge, and they could get a chance to play in their district title game Friday night. So I will do, like I said, I will do my best to keep everybody updated on all of that. And then guess what? We've got baseball and softball, man. All of those are getting ready to go off, and man, we're just got a ton of sports happening right now. And in Jones County, our sister county over there, you have soccer playoffs happening, and me nor James have been able to get out to any soccer games at all. We were able to cover a couple of them last year, but we just have not been able to get out because we've had such successful teams in Jasper and Smith County. But keeps us busy, and that's always a good thing. Well, make sure that you follow along on our Facebook page. You can keep up with photo galleries, news, and sports, and all of that. If you follow and give the Jasper County News Facebook page a like, make sure to come in and subscribe to the Jasper County News. There are rates as low as $30 per year for a subscription. You can find all the links to this podcast and all those hosted apps at the top of the Jasper County News Facebook page. It's pinned up there, so make sure you go and like and follow and download the podcast to your favorite podcast host app. Well, I hope that you all have a great week, and we will see you next week for episode 007.